Hey everyone, hey, welcome into this episode. This is episode 41 of the Art Wonk podcast. And this is another in our series, the ongoing series at the moment, of recordings that were made at Collaboration New Zealand earlier in 2021. And today I have to tell you, a really emotional time actually going through the episode that I recorded and editing and making it tidy because we were recording in a little cabin. It was really noisy. But this time around, I got to talk with Mr. Erwin Saib. And Erwin is our quintessential great southern man. Erwin hangs out mainly in the metal area, but he's a very skilled maker in lots of media from wood through. And Erwin has always been that kind of ready, rugged type of bloke that would pitch in, calls a spade. So the interview, when it started, it was a joy. I mean, his voice is gorgeous in your earphones. And you know, I'm settling in to get to know a guy that I've known for a lot of years. But you know, when you do these things, you chat. And Erwin had been really upfront about the fact that he'd never given an interview before. He was quite nervous about the technology and speaking into the microphone, as a lot of people are. And it is intimidating. And it's taken me a while to get used to it. But you know, I'm a yappy chappy and I just talked my way through it. And that's what we did. We sat down and we had just this little chat until he got comfortable and I pushed record. Now, little did I expect that it was going to unfold the way it has. Because as is often the case, we all see the gruff exterior of a person who keeps others a little bit at a distance and assume that there might be a person there who doesn't want people nearby. Well, Erwin in this interview opened up and talked about the real impact that collab has on him and how in his moments of deepest need, this collaboration family have actually helped him. And so there is a patch that you'll find around the 10-minute mark or thereabouts where we'll have a small bit of music. That's simply because we all ended up in tears. There was a number of people in the room at the time and we had to take a break because it really is quite extraordinary how this group of people working together on their own projects or shared projects slowly let their barriers down to the point where we become truly family and truly able to, let each other in. So again, you know, that question about why are you doing this in a marketing sense? Well, it is important to understand the value of reaching out, of sharing, of finding your people, finding your community, finding your tribe. And in this interview, you'll hear how Erwin's gone about it, what it meant to him, how these people and this experience and what your experience might be could be very different. If you're not a collaborator or you've not had a chance to be part of a collaboration, take from this what you will, but I would love for you to take from this the fact that you are part of a very long tradition. The making tradition has been around since humans picked up their first stick and stone and made a tool. And as such, we do have this common bond. And if you can find a way to connect with others and make your way into a maker's community, open up, let yourself be vulnerable because, as Erwin will explain, you can very much gain so much more than you'll ever lose. So this is Erwin's story. And I welcome you to be part of it. And before we go, thank you, Erwin, for your trust. If you folks could see the editing block on my computer, there are some, we're somewhere in the region, about 160 splices as this interview got put together because there was so much going on around us. Noises from outside, interruptions, all sorts. And the fact that we got a semi-cohesive flowing conversation out of it is testament to just the determination that he had to share and my desire to listen. So I really want to thank Erwin for both being Erwin and just for the fact that he stuck with it. So here is my conversation with Erwin Saib. Thanks, Erwin. Right, so today we're talking with Erwin. What's your full name, Erwin?
My full name's Erwin Saib.
And what is your primary reason for being at Collab? What's your favourite medium that you work in?
My medium I'm happy with is steel, as in working with a forge in the blacksmith shop. My original medium was wood, as in self-taught wood turner. and it was wood turning that gained me the entry into Collab.
Wonderful. And so you're one of our older statesmen in terms of people who've been here for some of the most number of Collabs. So what year did you start coming?
Would have been, we're trying to work that out, but we think I would have been here in 1998 to the trial one at Graham Priddle's. And my first recollection of holding a Collab at the Baptist Cap was 1999, and that was the year the auction was held on site before it was moved into Forum North.
All righty. So you've watched it grow and evolve like a living organism, really, hasn't it?
It's become a very much a part of my life when I do return, yes.
Yeah, and that sense of home away from home I get. Do you get that type of thing as well, this like family thing?
Very much a family group. The friendships and the, put it this way, of all my 20 years of holidaying, 3 to 4 weeks a year for 2 years has been in Whangarei, so I know that area quite well.
And I know that you're respected really well in the tent and within the place because you've got a really good working understanding of collabing, of how to bridge the gap between someone's mad idea and their passion and their excitement and what we can do on the day. What would be the most frustrating or most common type of request you get made of you that you think, oh, another one? Is there anything that feels familiar or is it always so different that you keep excited every time?
I get excited by the mediums that keep changing and evolving and watching the people evolve. But probably as important as that is the growth and the evolvement of myself. There are no egos in the camp. If you have an ego, you're gone very quickly.
Yeah, it just doesn't promote itself well, does it? It ends up falling apart.
No, and I think the term collaboration for me, when I first started, I was brought up in a rural background in South Canterbury and very much worked on my own and very much owned my work. With coming to Collab, the thing that I learnt about collaboration is it's not about the work, it's about the friendships formed and the family of the collaboration and the support you get from the other people as you get to know them.
And that just keeps growing. It's weird. It's like having more children and that your ability to embrace more. I'm speaking on my behalf, not yours, but there's always room for new friends, new experiences. It's not like you get full of it. Do you need the two-year break to recover? I know it can be tiring.
The first Collab I came to was very, very daunting. The experience of just getting here, had not travelled, and just getting used to getting on a plane, leaving home and being self-contained and living amongst a new group of people was quite fearful. And then when I looked at them, I thought, wow, there's all these artists around us and I can't do a damn thing. And so I was like a fish out of water. It was quite daunting, and that's made me realise now when I see a first timer come in, it's very, very easy to speak to them and put them at ease and say we were all there once too. And especially if they strike an accord with you, then they're away. And so it takes a few years to get the confidence in yourself to push the other person into the unknown.
You're a man that has these hidden talents. They may not be hidden from you, but I still remember somebody wandering around saying, oh, I wish somebody knew how to plait. They wanted to do a rope or something. And all of a sudden, here's Owen in the middle of it with just one of those skills that was so perfect for the moment. What types of things that are available have you yet to explore? Because each time you come, you do new work. I see you pushing into different areas. I watched you yesterday on the wood turning lathe, first time I'd ever realised you had any connection with wood. Is there things yet that you've got to get at that you haven't got on a list somewhere?
Not really, no. I enjoy seeing new techniques and new skills. But I think from my point of view, when I was a child, I had a very inquisitive mind. So any form of like killing a sheep or plaiting or riding a horse, being from a rural background, we were very self-reliant. So you learnt those skills. And if you wanted to move on, you had to learn. There was no internet. So you had to read books or experiment. And because of that and living on one's own, you're not afraid to try new things. But I am a wee bit scared to do them in front of public until I've seen whether the result's going to backfire or not.
And this is the place where things backfire occasionally anyway, because we're pushing boundaries.
Yes, and I enjoy pushing the boundaries. One year here we made a set of hooker's boots, which were blow-in pillow-style type boots with oxyacetylene.
I'm sorry, but blow-in pillow-style? What the hell is blow-in pillow-style?
Well, you take a flat form, weld the seams and put in a valve to blow it up with compressed air while it's red hot.
Thank goodness. So it's an engineering term. I thought you were familiar with the types of hooker boots available and it was a specific hooker boot, but no, okay.
Yeah. I think this subject's going a wee bit offline here.
Okay. Sorry, so you made these boots.
Yes, and that was purely experimental here way, way back. And I think it was the first collab that Steve Lovelace came to, and he just was blown away. I was too, myself. They never got completed, but someone did buy them.
Yeah, and that's the thing I found. One year, the base for a sculpture that got broken, the base was still so beautifully built and fabricated that went to the auction and somebody fell in love with it. So there's always somebody who will like what we do. What would be the piece that you are most proud of being attached to?
I don't really have any attachment to any of the pieces, really. My memories are really when I see the pieces. The easiest way is for me to describe an event that happened a number of years ago where my son was involved in a tragic accident and killed his best mate. And anyway, he was seriously injured, like really seriously injured, shouldn't have lived, was discovered 9 hours later and was still conscious at that stage. But anyway, it was before collab and I went to the hospital and the first decisions that had to be made was whether life support was going to be switched off or remain. But we went through the process and the decision was made to keep him on life support. And he was, I think, a week before we tried first resus on his own and it wasn't successful. The surgeons and the staff said, right, we'll go another 24 hours and we'll attempt to work him around. So I went to the Christchurch Art Gallery and was in a state of quite emotional territory. Walked into the gallery and the person that was in the gallery saw me walk in and I walked around and I looked at all the pieces in the room and the lady said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm talking to the people in the room. And she said, well, who are they? And there was Lionel Grant's pieces, Shona Furman's pieces, and there was a whole series of artists that were connected through collab. So anyway, these people were all around me in this room. I walked out of there, went up to the hospital, and my son sat up in bed and spoke to me.
Wow.
Absolutely awesome. So collaboration is not about the work, it's about the people. And those artists from around the world that have come, the international artists, are all friends for life. And collaboration is friendship.
What do you say to that? That sums up everything. Well done.
Yeah, cut.
Oh, okay. So we paused everything here and stopped for a bit because we all needed to collect ourselves. We're in tears. What an incredible thing that Erwin had gone through, and the fact that he could find his connection with his friends and people he knew through their artwork, so that he could find himself and find a bit of balance. It was quite telling. So I've cut out a whole pile of conversation that happened as we tried to find our way back into our rhythm. And the second half, a bit disjointed in places, but I think you'll understand that, yeah, it was a pretty big ask to bring that back together. So here, back to the interview.
the thing about collab is the more you invest of yourself, the more you get in return. The growth and the cross, one of the things I've learned out of collab is the people have got a skill of their own, but that skill and their ability to cross-fertilise or to pick up another medium and run with it is very easy. You can go from blacksmithing to shiny tinies, which I call jewellers, or you can go into woodwork. But the skills, the design skills are all the same, except for glass blowing. That's one thing I cannot understand. It just, it's out of my realm. But I was very, very fortunate. With the new people that come on board, they come with skills. And suddenly, like today, we were doing, or we've been doing a wee bit of Damascus, and I never realised I had always used paper release, but I was informed today that you can use stainless steel foil as a release inside a caged Damascus. And so every time you come, you leave with more than what you come with. And, yeah. And that's, and people are so willing to share. If you take an interest and ask questions, they'll answer them. The best way to become more knowledgeable yourself is to hand the knowledge on.
Yeah, and it's not just the tools. There's the marketing, there's all sorts. I didn't get to bed till 4 o'clock this morning because a group of us ended up having this outrageously fun conversation about how we get to survive or not on our work. And those things, you know, you're tapping into years of knowledge from some, and others it's just pure insight because they're new. Who surprised you out of the people you've worked with where you really just didn't quite expect them to show you something or whatever? I don't know how to make that question make sense. We could cut it out and start
again. Yeah, it hasn't made sense to me, so you know, we can start.
Okay, well, now that you've said that, I'm going to leave that in.
Well, I have to be quite frank and honest. We lived in a remote area at one stage on a station, and my children went to boarding school, and my only venture into to making or supplementing my income was through wood turning. And that made me learn that to make good quality product for sale takes a lot of effort and time. And really, I was better to keep a day job and continue on and work with my work as a hobby. And my blacksmithing and everything is purely a hobby. Well, occasionally I'll sell a piece, but I don't go out of my way to do commissions or do work.
Yeah, and that I think some, for the listener who's considering giving it a try but thinks, oh no, I have to wait until I'm galleried or until I've done this or that, it's obvious that's not actually an essential. It's more your desire to make and share that makes the difference. It's not how, where your work sits or what you do with it.
I think if you're a creative person, you will get around the barriers.
But you don't just blacksmith, do you? So,
well, I got a chance to throw it back here now because I'm sitting in this seat. Actually, was feeling a little bit nervous and still am nervous of talking to this guy. But I watched him come to collab here about, correct me if I'm wrong, but this will be about what year did you start?
Yeah, 2009. Or 2011. I'm not sure now. There's been so many.
I remember this guy turning up and he, of all things, carved steel with an end grinder. Well, you can imagine how irritating that was. You can imagine what that made me think of him as well. So we watched this guy doing this, and then I thought I'd be smart and show him that I could etch with a bit of salt and vinegar a battery charger, but I couldn't get that to work either. So that was one of my first lessons with collab, was learn to get your processes dead right before you try and teach them to somebody else. And I watched this guy start this work, and then today, 2021, he showed me this beautiful work, and I'm pleased that the pieces of these early years are still around to remind him of his roots and where he came from. Because if he hadn't have made those pieces, he wouldn't have the beautiful work he produces now.
Thank you. That is a compliment I'm going to hold. The journey of making is often one that you forget that you're on a journey. We focus on all the individual pieces, and it is easy to sometimes think those early ones should be hidden and never seen again, but they've got value. They were good then. They were the best I could do on the day, and that editing thing is natural, I guess.
They are still your best because that's where you started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to forget where you started. In about the first year that Richard Kerr came on board, there was a Manaya made by Lionel Grant, and I think I was involved in it. There was quite a number of us that involved in it, and I'd always come to collab, and I'd never got my gorse out of my pockets. And anyway, I looked at this piece, and I thought, right. And Des Cogan, who was on board then, used to come down every season at lambing time, and he trained a couple of good sheepdogs, and there was a very good stockman. He would come down and we would work together for the lambing season. And anyway, he's sitting in this auction and he didn't know what I was up to. And this piece came up for auction and I whacked my first bid in and it was $5,500, I think. And he looked at me and he said, how the heck are we going to get that back home in the back seat of my car? So anyway, I pushed this to 9,500 and Des says, what's going on? Richard bought it, but I would have been quite happy to have taken it home. And that was the only time I ever really gave the auction a crack. And oh, there was one other time too. There was a beautiful cross made by my son, which Shona Furman is actually wearing here today. And a lovely lady called Mikey was a jeweler that came on board as a newbie. And she had the unfortunate task of teaching me to cast silver. Well, it wasn't silver. We did cast silver, but she also showed me how to cast nickel. And it was a highlight of that collab that I could go home with a skill, which I didn't have before. And she was an awesome teacher. I think that has made me a better facilitator by going through that experience of, hey, just show the people the skills, show them the procedures clearly and concisely how to do the job, and don't forget any of it as you're giving them the process, because what you do and take for granted, the person that's new to the task doesn't. So you've got to explain every piece of the details, and she was so good at it. It was awesome. And we worked together for probably a fair bit of that week, as well as doing our other jobs, and it was a really neat experience for me. But the thing about collab is the only way to really profit from it is to give all of yourself. That's the only way you'll get it back. So the beauty for me is to watch these people grow and watch their ability grow and watch the blossom of the growth. Yeah, it's really, really neat.
And really appreciate you sharing. So thanks very much for your time. Well, there you have it. What a great conversation. Now, there's no doubt at all that Erwin went through some pretty rough patches there, and we really want to, again, thank him for his honesty and his insights. Yeah, he pointed out that if you let others in, if you let them give you what they want to give you, and share with you, then you can only be richer for it if you do the same back. So when you go out into your making day and you start doing what it is that you do as a maker, please remember that a little bit of generosity will return itself. And don't overlook those quiet people. They're out there, but they're not always wanting to be on their own. And people like Erwin have really opened my eyes to the fact that we don't all have to be noisy yappy-chappies, but we all have something to say. So until next time, this has been Neville thanking you very much for joining us in the Art Wonk. Please like us, share us, tell everyone about us, and help this grow. Truly appreciate it. Take care.